Everyone can go ahead and have a seat. Let me grab one of these stands. Good. Thank you, Cindy. All right, before I get started, I would like to make one more announcement. We'd like to honor the drama team that helped out last weekend at the winter retreat. So Hope, Carrie, Cindy, Kylie, and a couple other stand-ins. Go ahead, Aaron. And there are a couple other, Kendall. So everyone go ahead, and if you helped out with drama team last week at the winter retreat last weekend, then go ahead and have stand up. We would like to honor you guys. You guys did a fantastic job leading it and just pulling it all together. Very humorous and fitting. So I would thank you in German, but nobody else would understand. All right, here we go. Okay, so we'll get started. Nice. All right, let me go ahead and pray before I start speaking, because if it was up to me, then I would do a horrible job. Y'all wouldn't get fed. You'd leave and be like, man, that guy is just retarded. So I need God's strength today. So let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank you for the opportunity to be able to just share from my heart, share just kind of what you've taught me over the past couple of years. And Lord, I just thank you for just being interested in using me. And so I just pray that you do that today. I just pray that it wouldn't be my words, but that you would just be speaking through me. And just for these guys and girls out here, Lord, may they just find a little nugget in your truth, just kind of resonate with our hearts. We ask the Lord in Jesus' name, amen. So we're continuing our series on discernment. Our series is called Discernment Required, and you may feel like, oh gosh, this has gone on like for months, right? So I don't remember exactly how many weeks we have total, but it's, I think, wrapping up very soon. But this week, the topic is, friendships, as you see up there. And there's so much to be said about friendships. I'm like, in preparing for this week, I'm like, where do I start? I mean, it's again, one of those broad categories. But in regards to friendships, our subtitle that Bob and I kind of created and just in talking about this topic, it's the influence others have on us, friends. Okay, so when we're talking about influence, we're all influenced to some extent, for good, for bad, or just kind of neutral influence. It's just kind of, that's how culture is. You kind of adapt. That's how humans are. Some people don't adapt as much, you know, which can be good, and then others more heavily. They just want to blend in. They don't want to stand out. And all that kind of goes back to influence, kind of fitting into your culture. I mean, why do you do the things that you do? Why do you, wear certain clothes or shoes and kind of match and whatever? We could go into a whole long discussion on that, you know. But typically people don't really want to stand out in a bad way. I mean, otherwise you would be, you know, wearing like cloaks and whatnot. I mean, why do you wear the clothes that you have and not like some garb that they wear in the Middle East? Okay, enough said. We are influenced to some extent. And some of the most influential people in our lives are our friends, no doubt, and I'm sure you would agree with that. So in talking about friendships, I thought I would share about one of my best friends and just kind of, I don't know, how our friendship's been going. And so I met one of my best friends, his name is Ben Kellerman. And I've known him since I met him, I think in 2005, fall of 2005. But I knew his name. But it wasn't until like New Year's Eve or New Year's Day of, 2006, I think 2006, going into 2007, where I realized I was making like New Year's resolutions. I was hanging out with some friends from whatever, a New Year's party, and we were just talking like, so what are your New Year's resolutions? And I told them, I was like, well, I would like to have a best friend, one that's really good, a good positive influence in my life, kind of just challenges me. And they're like, well, do you know anyone like that? And so I told them, I was like, yeah, there's this guy I've seen at church. His name's Ben. He just seems like a great leader, but then he's not like super spiritual. he's like humorous too. So he's a lot of sarcasm. So anyhow, I was like, man, he just seems like a great guy to have as a friend, a companion. So I said that then. But little did I know that God had similar plans and a plan for my life. And several months later, I actually started my master's full-time and then worked part-time at the church that I was attending, worked part-time as youth director. But because working part-time in ministry doesn't pay well at all, I needed to kind of cut back on the budget somewhere. So long story short, Ben ended up not really knowing me well other than my name. He ended up offering his townhouse, a room in his townhouse, for me to stay. He told the pastor, he's like, hey, I would like to help out with this. I would like to put him up in my place. He didn't know that I said I want to be good friends with him. It was kind of like secret discussion, like, oh, I think he'd be a cool guy. So I ended up staying with this guy, living with him for 2 years, which was one of the best experiences of my life, helpful in terms of my growth. So let me back up a little bit. Some of the regrets that I have in my life, some of the things that I've done, gosh, I mean, I could give you like a whole list of just bad habits to get into or just bad things, bad experiences, all kind of goes back to, well, I was introduced to these things through my friends. And maybe you all feel the same way. You're like, okay, so why did I start doing this? I mean, like, who would in their right mind would do this? Or, you know, no one just goes out and says, I just want to do something bad. Or I just want to, you know. So that was introduced by some friends. So that's the background. With Ben was my first guy where I had an accountability partner with. And he influenced me and, you know, just really easygoing guy, but he would speak truth. And he's 10 years older than me, but he was like, you know, hey, this is one area you need to work on. So we started an accountability group, and we have two other guys in that group as well. So that was one of my best friends, something that I learned from him. Just as far as his personality goes, he is, one of his gifting is grace and, well, encouragement, grace, mercy. He's that type of guy, sensitive, right? Me, I'm not really that type of guy. I can say kind of the cold hard truth and just kind of the mean stuff. I don't really run away from conflict, but some people are like, oh, no, I don't want to be, you know, in conflict. I don't really run away from it. I don't, like, welcome it, but, you know, I'll just face it head on. So him being the really just merciful guy, he welcomed this guy into the house from the church who didn't have a job. He lost his job, and he was in his 40s. So older guy, single guy, kind of weird. And so Ben said, hey, you can come stay with us for, you know, a couple days until you find a job. Guy ended up coming into the house and just really just kind of making himself at home. And I ended up having to share a bathroom with him, which was horrible. Like, I felt like he used the toilet like you would use it at Sheets or something like that, you know? I'm like, dude, like, anyhow, you messed up my throne. So one time, a little experience. A little story just that I would share with this guy. His name was Chip, so none of y'all would know him. And I came home, made myself a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I opened up the peanut butter. I was like, oh, what's up with the peanut butter? I was like, maybe Ben loves honey. Maybe Ben like dipped in the honey and dipped in the peanut butter. You know, there was like some fluid in there. I was like, okay. And it wasn't like the natural peanut butter you have to stir. No, it was like the real normal stuff. So I made this peanut butter and jelly sandwich, ate it, and Ben was like, what peanut butter did you end up using? I was like, well, there was this little can on the counter. I just used that. He's like, dude, that's Chip's peanut butter. Well, what you need to know about Chip, he loves chewing tobacco. He's like in his 40s. His mouth was always full of, like, his lips were always bulging because he always had chewing tobacco in, and, you know, he'd be like spitting and stuff like that. And he had been sitting on the couch just like an hour earlier, taking a spoon of peanut butter and just eating it. So some of the juice from his chewing tobacco had gotten in the jar, and I ate the sandwich. It wasn't, yeah. It was the wrong peanut butter jar to use. So that was just the story, you know, Ben. I ended up having to kick this guy to the house because Ben was just too graceful. He's like, oh, well, you know, you should be applying for a job. I was like, Chip, you got to leave. This guy is just too nice. He wouldn't ever tell you to leave, so I'm going to be the truth here, and you got to leave. Anyhow, okay, so that's my story of friendship. And we all want to, We all want to have friends. None of us want to be alone and going through a life alone. And a lot of times, once you make and find a new friend, that's when you start feeling a little more comfortable. If you've moved around a lot, I've moved around quite a bit, having grown up in Germany. And anyhow, I wouldn't start feeling comfortable until I started making a few friends, until I became known. And maybe you felt that way when you came to this youth group. You're just like, nobody knows me. I don't have any friends here. Like, why should I go? So we all want friends. And we want to have a lot of friends. Some of you just have them on Facebook. But we still want friends. Something that I notice every year at college, at the end of the year, people would have, like, pull out their yearbooks and stuff. We'd get the yearbooks, and they'd pass them around. You'd sign them. And these random strangers would come to me and, like, dude, you're in my class. Can you sign my yearbook? I'm like, I don't even know your name. So I'd open up the yearbook, and I'm like, oh, Ryan. Oh, nice to meet you. You know, and I'd be like, have a great summer. You know, like the typical things. But it was like, it was almost like a competition, like who could get the most signatures in the book. So I always went against the grain. Not always, but I refused to have anybody sign my yearbook because I didn't want to feel like it was a competition. So, random thoughts. 88. Okay, so my question for you is, what are your friends have you reading? What do your friends have you listening to or watching? What do your friends have you saying? It kind of comes back to that influence. Like, how are they rubbing off on you? Do you pick your friends, or do they pick you? Maybe you never thought about this question. You're like, well, pick my friends? Well, yeah, there's certain people that I don't want to be my friend, but like, do I go around and picking? Well, like, no, I just welcome everybody. If they want to be my friend and they're somewhat decent, then yeah, they should be my friend. So we're going to talk a little bit about this today. So, Paris Hilton.
No video.
Paris Hilton used to have a good friend. Nicole Richie, apparently we're friends. I don't know all this history, but, you know, I did a little bit of reading. And so she used to be really good friends with Nicole Richie. And somehow when their friendship broke up, she's like, well, I want to have a new best friend. So she launched her own TV series. And many of you all probably heard it. And it's called Paris Hilton's. Let me pull up my little remote. I can go a little slide. Oh, whoop, let me go back. There we go. Okay, there you go. Paris Hilton's My New BFF. So she wanted to find a good friend, and so she thought, hey, maybe I can do this by having my own little series. And let me give you a little sneak peek in the trailer of that series.
This season on Paris Hilton's My New BFF. Last year, I thought I found a new BFF, but boy, was I wrong. She was just trying to find her own fame and fortune. So this time, out of hundreds of thousands of people who applied, I handpicked the final 12 potential BFFs. Stephanie, Steven, Desiree, please step forward. Congratulations. And when the journey ends, only one of these hotties will be my new BFF.
Okay, maybe you've never heard of it. Don't worry, I haven't watched it. I mean, I watched the trailer, but I wasn't into it. I just heard about it. This actually ran a couple years ago. So for those of you who are like in tune to it, you're like, dude, that was like 2009. But I thought it was interesting. It kind of came to mind randomly. And so I thought, hey, you know, she set out first season to find a new best friend. And apparently, after all the searching, all the time and money, she didn't find the friend that she was hoping for. And then she had another season. So far, there have only been two seasons, as far as I know. And maybe she'll have a third season if the second friend didn't work. But what was it that she was looking for that she didn't end up finding? Or when you ask yourself, like, so how do you find a good friend? And what does it mean to have a good friend? So I thought, well, okay, let's bring it back to the spiritual. You are in church. So I said, well, okay, let me just look through the Bible. And so I started studying. I was like, what does the Bible say about friendships? What can we learn? Maybe there's a great story of a character in the Bible, like, hey, this is the best friend, so we can all kind of strive to learn from this example. And you can walk away feeling like, oh, great, I know what a best friend should be or what a best friend looks like. So, but before I give you my three candidates that I found, I want to give you two tips that the Bible offers about friendship. Tip number one, in 1 Corinthians 15:33, it says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Paul is talking in this passage. Actually, when you read like the chapter, he's talking about the resurrection of Christ. And he says, well, if Christ didn't raise again, and he's, you know, talking to some people, and, well, I guess it's in a letter, and he said, well, if Christ didn't raise again, then our faith would be in vain, right? And so they're talking, well, if our faith is in vain, then all that we're hoping for, all that we believe in, is just kind of a waste of time, if you will. And so he says, well, then if it is, then in this mentality that the people have that had that the, that he was writing to, is like, well, just kind of, I don't know, live today like there's no tomorrow, like party hard, you know, and no regrets. And it's that type of mentality that he's speaking to them to. He's like, no. He's like, bad company corrupts good character. He's saying, look, you hang around these people, it's going to rub off on you. Their wrong teachings, their just whatever, bad influences are going to rub off on you. So that's, there you have a little bit of a background of that text. Bad company corrupts good character. So remember that. And also, I you can say the opposite as well. So good company, right, can rub off on you as well. So you can flip it and do the opposite. Another passage would be Proverbs 22:11. One who loves a pure heart and who speaks with grace will have the king for a friend. And this was written by the wisest guy on the planet, King Solomon. He said this, the guy that had to have had many friendships, who ran a kingdom, ran a nation, who knew, and just God made him the wisest guy. Unfortunately, he made many mistakes himself. But this is the wisdom that he's given us. Look, okay, so having a pure heart, speaking with grace, you're going to find favor in other people's eyes. If that's the type of person you are, especially a king, none of us really know kings. Maybe some of you do. I would like to meet you if you do. But he's just talking about a character, a quality that we should strive to have. Pure heart, desire a pure heart, and speak with words of grace. When we don't choose our friends carefully, we may find ourselves in trouble. And so we're going to look at three, now having gotten the background through these texts, we're going to look at three different characters this morning. The first one, I call him Homeboy. Well, he doesn't really have a name in the Bible. And Homeboy is a friend of Rehoboam. So I'll give you a little background. Some of you may know. If you don't, I'm going to give you a little background behind this. So, and I have the passages. It's in brown. You may not be able to read it well. But if you want to write it down, you can study it at home. Great passage to study. So Rehoboam is, I talk about Solomon. Rehoboam is King Solomon's son. King Solomon was the wisest guy on the planet. If anybody, you know, if you wanted to learn something from somebody, this is the guy you wanted to be around. People from all over the country would come to this guy to glean wisdom from him. Rehoboam was the son who took over the kingdom when King Solomon died. Got it? Rehoboam then was approached by another guy, Jeroboam. I know there's a lot of names. Jeroboam with some representatives from the nation. Okay, so he is now king over Israel. This young Rehoboam, he's like, okay, he's approached by this guy and says, hey, look, your dad was hard on us. Just take it easier. Take it easier and we'll serve you forever. Rehoboam, being the type of guy that he was, he said, hey, okay, give me 3 days, come back to me. I'm going to seek some advice from different people. He sought some advice from some older men, some wise men who were counselors under his dad, okay? And he said, hey, what should I do? And they said, yeah, listen to them and they will be loyal. Then he asks his friends, his homeboys, he says, hey guys, we grew up together. What do you think I should do? They say, you know, take it light on me and we'll be loyal to you. And his friends, homeboy, said, no, dude, tell him, the guy that came to you, tell him, say, hey, my dad was hard on you. Get this, my pinky is thicker than my dad's waist. And my dad whipped you with whips. I'm going to whip you with scorpions. Harsh, really harsh words. And Rehoboam stupidly followed that advice. And sure enough, kingdom broke apart. This guy ended up getting one of 12 tribes. because he listened to the poor advice of his friends. That's one story. I know it sounds kind of crazy, right? But yeah, that's the story. And you would think that he would have been had some wisdom, you know, from his dad. Somehow something passed on. Second dude, John. His real name is Jonathan. I thought I'd call him John. And he was the best friend of David. Okay? Maybe you know this story. He was very loyal to David, and David was being pursued by John's dad, King Saul. Okay? King Saul, obviously the king at that time. David was just an upright guy, was just a hardcore warrior, and he did well. Everything that he did and set his mind to, he was successful at. And Saul ended up starting getting jealous because they would sing songs about him like, Saul slain his thousands and David's slain his tens of thousands, you know, after they come back home from war. And David ended up being promoted, and he was a high official in Saul's army and respected by the other officials and leaders there. But, so Jonathan, Saul ended up pursuing David and wanted to kill him. He wanted to get rid of him. And he told Jonathan, and he's like, hey, I want you to kill David. David's like, why are you trying to kill David? He did nothing to you. He's a good guy. Leave him alone. And Saul ended up telling him, he's like, look, I want you, and started pursuing him. But Jonathan was one of those friends that we would all love to have. He would have your back, and he had David's back, and he protected David and hid David, and he even lied for David. And I'm not encouraging this at all, but when you look at the friendship, he's like, well, that was another friendship that we can study about in the Bible, but he lied for his friend. And that's not something we want to have, and we would aspire. Then the third guy is Barnabas. I call him Barney. And it's Barnabas, and we read about it. And that's in Acts, and I think this, of all three friends here, of all three candidates that I would say, hey, Paris, if you're going to choose a friend, choose a guy like this. Open up your Bibles to Acts 11. In Acts 11, 19 through 26, I'm encouraged when I read about Barnabas. So Barnabas, his name, and Luke writes about it, his name means the encourager. And that's his personality. That's what he ended up becoming known for. He was the encourager. He motivated people. And if you're going to find someone that you're going to surround yourself with, you want somebody that will encourage you, that will encourage you to do the right things. Not encourage you like, hey, you know, everybody's done it. Let's do this. No, you want him to encourage you for what's right. You want him to encourage you in your walk with God, if that means anything to you. But that's the type of guy that I looked for and that I was looking for when I selected Ben. And I've since told him the story, and he thinks it's kind of funny that I said, oh, I want to be best friends with you. But I looked for an encourager, someone that would encourage me in my walk with Christ. And that's exactly what Barnabas was. And I'm not going to read through this whole passage, but in this passage you see that, look, so this is the first missionary journey. Let's back up. So Barnabas saw in Paul, remember when Saul ended up becoming named Paul, you know, he on his way to Damascus, he saw God, bright light, God, I said God, bright light, and that's when he got saved, that's when he believed. But Paul was the dude that had been persecuting all these Christians and killing people. And so these Christians were like, dude, we don't trust you. We think it's one of your schemes just to get, you know, kill us or turn us in. So they didn't trust him. But Barnabas was one of the few guys that saw in Paul that he was genuine, that his relationship with Christ was genuine. And he said, guys, this dude is real. I believe in him, and I've seen the change in his life. And so Paul used him. Actually, they end up sending Paul. So they start their first church in Antioch, right? This is the first missionary journey. And they end up sending Barnabas there to encourage the Christians. And I can't even find the verse because this is a whole passage here and you can read it at home. But they end up sending him. They say, hey, look, you're a great guy. We want you to go there and encourage these new believers. So they had just been persecuted. And so they needed someone to just kind of speak some truth in them, say, look, guys, you can do this. We believe in you, and this is genuine. And this is the guy that they sent along, and he encouraged the apostles in their relationship, in their walk with God. And when he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. I'm going to read that verse again. When he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with their hearts. How many of y'all have a friend that does the same thing? That sees the areas in your life where, like, you know, I've seen God working in your life. That's awesome. Keep it up. Do what's right. I want you to remain true to what God's word teaches. And that's awesome. I'm really encouraged by Barnabas. There's a quote Sean Ritchie said. And he said, be around the people you want to be like, because you will be like the people you are around. And there's many all different kinds of quotes on friendship. So I thought, what's a practical way this morning that we can just kind of stop and evaluate our friendships, and something that would be helpful? So if I can have some helpers, we have some 3x5 cards in the back, and I think the pens are already on the table. So we have 3x5 cards back there by Michael. And if I can get some guys to just kind of pass out 3x5 cards, everybody will take a 3x5 card. And I have some questions here that I want you to consider. So while you're waiting on your 3x5 card, I want you to already start thinking about these questions. So the first assignment, I want you to take and write down three names on a new line, three names of your best friends. It doesn't have to be the top three, just three of your best friends. Write their names down. And then I want you to answer this question. Right behind their name, I want you to say yes or no to this question. It says, does this person inspire me and challenge me in my walk with God? And then two, for each friend, I want you to write this down in the line after it. If no, what needs to change in your friendship? Does this person inspire me and challenge me in my walk with God? If no, what needs to change in your friendship? So write the name down, and you know what? I'm not going to collect these cards, so don't worry if you're like, oh, I'm not going to write that down. This card is for you to keep. I want you to write down your answer, stick it in your pocket, take it home, review it, pull out this week. You may need to make a tough decision this week. You may have some really close friends because they've been loyal. They've stuck with you for a lifetime. They might have lied for you because they got your back. You may have some friends that you grew up with, and you're just like, dude, I'm loyal to them. They are my friends. They've stuck with me. But if they're not encouraging you in your walk with God, then that's not the type of friend you need to have around. And I know this is tough. It's hard to let friends go or to say, look, you know, we just can't be hanging around as much because I believe this, and I'm going to do what it takes to get me here. So write their names down. Write down whether yes or no, do they encourage me? And if not, then write down what action items need to happen. If you need to address them, bring it up and say, look, I'm a Christian. I never told you before, but I was always afraid about talking about it because I know you don't agree with it, but you're a good friend of mine, and I would love to keep you around, but unless you're going to encourage me in my walk with God, encourage me to do what's right, then I'm sorry, we can't really hang out anymore. And then if you're going to break up with a friend, you need to have friends around. You need that. We all need community. We need people encouraging us to do what's right. And you may write three names down and be like, dude, I can't be friends with any one of them because they're not encouraging me to do what's right. And we all need friends. So maybe your action item is like, well, I need to find some new friends. And we got lots of great girls, guys and girls here in this room that would love to be your friend. And we got some really good, some core leaders here in this youth group that would love to challenge you in your walk with God. And I would like to put that out to you. Come see me if you don't really know anybody. Maybe it's your first time here. And then lastly, once you write all that stuff down, I want you to find a person at your table and say, look, you don't have to show them your card, but you say, look, this is one area that I want to change and that I want to work on. Can we pray about it right here and now? So just take it and just share with them, and you can swap it out. So you can pray for each other and say, look, my first step is I need to, I don't know what it is, sit down and tell my friend that I'm a Christian, this is what I believe, and that what they're encouraging me to do is not right. That's your first step. It may be like, well, I need to be poured into someone else. I don't know. It could be different from everyone else. Bad company corrupts good character, and that's what I want you to take home today. Look, it all affects us. And for me, growing up, it was the Christians that were that had the more influence on me. It was other Christians that didn't have the same standards as me, as high standards, that pulled me down. Because I knew, and I grew up going to public school, so I knew, I was like, well, they automatically do a bunch of stuff that I don't do. But it was the other Christians like, dude, you're a little too strict. I mean, come on, you can just loosen up. God says it's okay. I mean, there's grace for everyone to go around. And that's what pulled me down personally. So I want you, if you already wrote down your names, now I'm open up the floor. You can, I'll give you some time, and you can find someone and just pray right now, right here and now, so you don't forget. All right. As you're praying, let me go ahead and just close us in prayer. Pray for these requests. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just ask you that you would give us the wisdom to know what's right and the courage to do it, even when it's tough. Lord, I just pray for these guys and girls, and for the leaders, and for myself, Lord, that we would surround ourselves with just the right friends, Lord, that you would just give us discernment when there are certain friends that we need to just, I don't know, not hang, spend time with because they're a bad influence. Lord, I just pray that we would have just a strong core of godly friends to encourage us, and that we'd encourage each other in our walks with you. I just pray that, we just walk away and be challenged by that today. In Jesus' name, amen. So my desire is not that, by one message, we're done. Oh, check, and we're covering that area. This is like a journey. So my desire from today's message is to kind of whet your appetite, to kind of encourage you to step back and evaluate your friendships. Go home, and if you have a concordance in the back of your Bible, look under friend or friendships. You can go to, I love using BibleGateway.org. It's a website. You can read all kinds of different Bible versions, but you can also search for words in the Bible. You can search for friend or friendship. Search for friend. You'll have tons of examples. And just, or maybe you wrote one of these passages down. Study the friendship. And see what we can learn about God and what this passage tells us about man. And I just want to encourage you to evaluate instead of just kind of go along life letting them choose you. So, thanks for listening. Thanks for your time. And I hope you have an awesome week. And a reminder again, for the missions meeting is at 1 o'clock in here. Lunch is provided. And